I'm Tim Garland, and this is the Trail Connection Podcast. Exploring, learning, and connecting through love for the outdoors. Talking everything from hiking, camping, to just plain living. This is the Trail Connection Podcast. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Trail Connection Podcast. It's been a while, again, and I apologize, but life happens, man. It happens. I'm easing my way back into this. I'm not going to get into a lot of detail on what's kept me away, but I have some recordings that never got released that I put together last year. So this first one is really special, near and dear to my heart. Two of my best friends, Danny Moody and Jordan Johnson, came down and spent some time with me in my home, and we talked a little bit about nature and music, and we recorded this last May before summer. And I never got around to putting it out, and recently on a vacation that I was able to take for the first time in about 2 years, I listened to it on the road again, and it hit home, and I wanted to share that. So without further ado, here's Danny Moody and Jordan Johnson.
So I'm really excited this week to have two of my best friends on the podcast, Danny Moody and Jordan Johnson. We go back a long way. And it's good to get together with them again. It's been a long time since we got to chill, so happy to have them in my home. Different atmosphere than the shows usually has.
And thank honestly, you, Timothy.
Oh, appreciate that. Also, this is kind of a unconventional outdoor episode because we're going to talk a lot about how music and nature inspire and intertwine. And so I have to give major props to Jordan for actually pitching this idea to me a while back. I thought it was a pretty cool concept and something unique. And I think that we got a good discussion ahead of us. So
it's a great idea. I think we'll have a lot to talk about.
It was good. So guys, welcome. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thanks.
So just real quick introduction. So Danny is a general contractor in the area. He owns his own business and is working primarily with home renovation on the historic side. And then Jordan is a ranch hand in Ocala. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Prestigious title.
Up until 2 hours ago, I thought he was still a school teacher.
Sounds cooler.
We're super close.
No, he just doesn't talk to us.
Yeah,
jack of all trades, that's rather quiet.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. So I wanted to kick things off, just catching up a little bit. What are you guys listening to these days?
Danny?
Yeah, I've been really on like a country bent last probably 4 or 5 years, which is a change for me. I was really coming from the like rock world and indie world. Lately, I mean, ever since Sturgill Simpson came out, that was like a breakthrough for me. I was looking for something like that for a really long time. And then, Chris Stapleton. I guess they're calling it like the outlaw country now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like stuff you hear on the radio for that, you know, for that portion. But the guy named Tyler Childers comes out of Kentucky as well. So, yeah, kind of on that old school country, but new stuff. Yeah, I've been really vibing on that.
That's cool. Met you, Jordan.
On the way here, which Tampa is about an hour and a half drive, I literally listened to every kind of music. I mean, Scotland the Brave with bagpipes, to Prince, to Alan Jackson, to the Red Hot Chili Peppers, to Toots and the Maytales, which you introduced me to over Instagram unknowingly.
Good stuff, yeah.
Everything. Ziggy Marley, like, if it's produced well, I listen to it. I really don't have musical moods where I go through cycles of listening to them, then I go to them, then I go to them. It's like all at once I'm in the mood for good music, no matter what it is. Like, it starts playing, and I go into a mood where I enjoy what I'm listening to, no matter what kind of style it is. I can find myself in that particular style, whatever I'm listening to, which I think that's kind of part of being a drummer. As a drummer, one of the good things that, or one of the things that makes you a good drummer, rather, is your ability to produce different styles at different times, depending on what's needed. And so I think I kind of have that mentality for listening to music. I'm kind of open to it, and I enjoy no matter what I'm listening to.
Yeah. So while you're saying that, my mind went right back to the condo, like blaring Primus.
Primus,
and then, like,
yes.
Jumping right into, like, Creedence Clearwater, and then, like...
John Coltrane. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's...
There's no rhyme or reason.
It's chaos, but it's awesome.
It's madness, yeah. But it's so good music.
It is.
You listen on, like, Spotify, or...
Spotify, Pandora, yeah. Those are kind of, like, discovery outlets, yeah. But, like, just on my phone through Apple Music, like, if I like it, yeah. I download it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Apple Music now, no, like, cool. You listen to something... And when the song is over, they just pull something else up. And sometimes I discover music that way, and I think, wow, that's pretty cool. And then I go down a rabbit hole. There's like a million rabbit holes on my phone.
Yeah, I was talking to some guys about that the other day. And like, I'm still like a huge proponent for like Spotify. Just because, I mean, I found like some of my favorite acts. Like just through like some song came up on a playlist, Spotify playlist, or like Pandora in the day. I guess it's still around. Pandora.
We're old.
But like, no. And it,
back in the day, 3 years ago.
I really support, like, I found some of my favorite artists just by, like, they had one song on a playlist. Mm-hmm. So, like, because radio is, we're not going to hear that on radio now.
Right.
Like, the fact that, like, there's those lists on Spotify keeps the vibe going for sure, but also like, oh, wait, what is that? I'm going to like dig in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's funny because if y'all were to ask me that same question, I would not be able to tell you like, oh, well, this band or this band that I'm listening to all the time, because I kind of like exist in that Spotify like random browser kind of thing.
Yeah, where, you
like,
have an eclectic taste.
We pick like one or two bands that we like. We go to their profile and kind of cycle through the top 10, and then it jumps into auto generate, and like that's where I operate right now. Like I couldn't tell you the band name or the song title, but like I know the vibe. Like yeah, that's a good jam. You know, hit the like button or whatever, and save it and go back later on. But like I'm really lately, it's just kind of just been in discovery mode. We're just trying to find new sounds and stuff like that. So
I think it's the like the modern palette now is just like, oh, we're open for whatever.
Right.
And we're just gonna
I think it's really cool because like growing up, I was introduced to specific bands. So it's like, so when my sister-in-law like kind of got me into classic rock, because her dad grew up listening to that stuff, so she would be like, oh, you got to listen to, you know, Cinderella, and you got to listen to Rush, and you got to like just from one end of the spectrum to the other of classic rock. And so that's kind of how I got into listening to classic rock, and then from there branched off into different genres or other types of rock, or you know, hip hop or things like that. And so I had like specific bands that drove the navigation through my musical interest growing up, and then living with you guys and, you know, drawing off of y'all's inspiration too. I mean, I remember, I guess it was either you or Noah that got me into Mute Math.
Oh, Noah. Noah and had such a good musical taste.
It was that was like game changer for me. Mm-hmm. And then Black Keys, Danny, you gave me into Black Keys because you heard it.
Playing Dan and work. Pete.
And
I got a mixtape of it, and I was like, this is the best thing I've ever heard.
And then, you know, from there, Kings of Leon, like there was just so many of these bands that were like just coming onto the scene that were just great. And it was like, that was kind of the cool thing at that point, to just catch these bands before they made it mainstream. But now that's like, that's mainstream because of these tools that are out there and stuff. So it's like, you can discover some really cool stuff without having to like, you know, go to these basement pubs that are playing, you know, these little small bands and stuff. You can find it.
So, or even like the indie record store. Like I'm thankful for those, and I still buy from those. But like, yeah, that was the only place you're gonna find. Like back in that day, like or like late 2000s, mm-hmm. that's the only place you're going to find like a Black Keys.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now, yeah, it's just like.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you kind of touched on it already, Jordan, but I was going to ask you specifically about what is it? What are the elements of a good album or a good song? Like what is it that sticks out to you in a song or in an album that's like, nah, this is a jam?
Highs and lows. When it comes to an album, you want songs that are faster tempo, higher energy, faster, and then you want part of the album to dip into a place that is more dramatic, a little more theatrical, almost a little more moody and emotional, and then you want to be hit again with some more adrenaline toward the end.
Mm-hmm.
What makes a good song, I think, is a song that appeals to what you're going through specifically in the moment, or a song that you could plug into your life to fill a certain spot that you're feeling. All throughout my life, I can look back at times in my life and fill in certain memories that I have with the song that goes along with that. And I could hear that song and it's like, it takes you back to that moment. And it takes you back to a state of feeling. I think a good song and a good album, and an album really is like a total package that's presented to you, but it applies to the song as well. It's something that appeals to the way that you're feeling, and ways that you have felt in the past that make you feel alive and human, mm-hmm. both good and in bad, negative ways.
Yeah.
It appeals to who you are as a person.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. So whenever we kicked this idea around, I guess it's probably about a year ago now, honestly.
Yeah.
It feels like that. Jordan came to me and was like, hey, I got an idea for a show that I think would be kind of cool. And we talk about how like music and nature intertwine. One can kind of inspire, you know, I mean, nature can't be inspired by music, but music can inspire nature, or nature can inspire music. And I loved the idea of that, because I immediately went to the thought process behind, like, I'm not an author yet. I'm working on my book, but I haven't finished it yet. But I like writing little blogs, or, you know, the captions that I put on a lot of the pictures I put up on my account is very thoughtful. I try to put some thought into it and try to write something that's motivation or inspirational. And so when we started talking about how like nature can inspire, I mean, I kind of went down this path of, okay, how does it inspire me to write? And I think back to the first time I went hiking on the Appalachian Trail, I had a little journal that I had bought to take with me, just to kind of jot down some notes about the day and which sections we did and stuff for reference, really. But I found myself in my tent at night, laying there, just like writing down all the lessons that I've learned from the day. Like, at a certain point in time when my back was killing me and like I felt like I couldn't go any farther, like there was this lesson of perseverance, or there was this lesson of like push through, and just there was so much that I learned from the trail. And so I've kind of taken that and moved it into the podcast. And like, I talk a lot about life and about things that inspire me, and there are things that, you know, I'm going through, and tie it in with the nature experience. And so I was going to talk to Danny here for a second about like being a songwriter. What is it that draws your inspiration when you start sitting down to write? Is it melody? Is it like something going on in life? What is it that kind of drives that?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of have like a, for me personally, there's kind of like a criteria. I'm like, the first thing I'm drawn to is like the vocal, you know, no matter what it's like, I always want it to be compelling, you know? Mm-hmm. And then like, for me, it's all about like melody. It's two. And then like groove is, mm-hmm. is three. And I think like most of the bands that I'm really into, or artists I'm really into, they get like have all three, you know? So yeah. Normally if it doesn't have any of that, like not really interested, you know,
yeah.
not really interested. I mean, that could be a slow groove too, or it could be like, you know, fast or upbeat, no matter what it is. But yeah, that's kind of where I start. And that's been a cool thing about writing with other people, because I've always just like written for myself, and it's kind of been very like reflective and that kind of thing. But like when you write for other people, or for another person to sing what you wrote, it's different, you know, like hearing it, like hearing somebody else sing something that you wrote up and you know where it comes from is super interesting.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, especially when they're like a better singer than you. You're like, wow, that sounds way better. You know, like I wrote it this way, but I can't sing it this way, you know?
Yeah.
But as far as, the inspiration goes, that's really, it's really switched like in like my stage of life, you know, being like mid 30s dad now. It's weird. Like, I start writing about, and for some people, it may sound like a normal song, but like for me, it's like about being like a dad or like about my kids or something. But
Pampers and whiskey.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one. You know, but you would never know, you know, for the most part. Sometimes it's hidden. For the first time in my life, like I started writing love songs. And that's what I'm doing. What I've been sharing recently is like I never wrote like one love song ever. Like I wrote one for Amanda. I was like, sorry, I never wrote one before. You know, it's just like I've been doing this my whole life, but I've never done that.
Yeah.
And that's really opened up a whole thing for me. So I think it's interesting because you normally we're like in bands and we're like pushing music when we're young, but I feel like we have so much more to say when we're old. Like, you know, like I didn't know anything, you know, when I was really like pushing it.
Right.
But as far as inspiration goes, I think just like moments in life play a big part. And then also there's things that like I think are worthy of being said, you know? Yep. There's some things just like, oh, like somebody said something like, ooh, I gotta write a song about that. That's like, so that's worthy, you know, of people hearing. But as far as nature goes, that is super interesting aspect for me because you know, like some of the names I rattled off, like that I was into right now, like there's like a lot of those guys, like Stapleton and Sturgill and like Tyler. I think those are the three I named. Children, they're all from Kentucky, and there's like this whole thing like Kentucky. You know, like you know what makes them sound like that? Like what makes them like write about this stuff? You know, and like write about their hollers.
Yeah,
you know, but like it's very interesting. But that's, I didn't, you know, kind of looking in like retrospect, a huge thing for me and just being like a Floridian. I mean, I'm like a huge Allman Brothers, Tom Petty, Lynyrd Skynyrd fan, like first two records for Lynyrd Skynyrd. But like, if I see like, it's like a swamp landscape, you know, like cypress trees, I hear Dwayne Allman slide like, you know, like, why? You know, like this lance, like you said, Tim, like this landscape doesn't drum this up, but for some reason, the people that like lived here and looked at this stuff, that's what they sounded like.
Yeah.
And it's very cool. Like when I drive through like Gainesville, like I'm blaring Tom Petty, like the whole time. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's most of my life blaring Tom Petty, but like that, especially then I'm like, I'm here where he was, like I'm blaring Tom Petty through here. Cause like a part of them makes it who it is. And that's it's a real thing. I mean, like the whole Southern rock thing came from Florida.
Yeah.
You know, the Allman Brothers are from Florida. They were born in Nashville. They grew up in Daytona and then they got big and moved to Macon, but like they're from Florida.
Yeah.
Dickie Betts, my favorite guitar player ever. Yeah. You know, he's from Sarasota. And lives there now. But like there's a sound that comes from where we were at, and like I'm proud of that.
Yeah, there's such a difference when you listen to like Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
And it sounds almost industrial.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And then you listen to Southern rock.
Yeah.
And there's almost like a wild organic side to it.
It's a mixture. True. But then, like, most recently, I've been really, I just didn't realize how much good music came out of Texas. And, like, how many, like, of the singer-songwriter country world is, like, formed country music.
Yeah.
And how much cool stuff is going on there still. That I've been, it's very interesting. And I can almost, like, if I hear somebody, I'm like, oh, they're from Texas, probably. You know? Or, like, if I hear somebody that's doing country or whatever, but they're from, like, California, I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. It's a little bit sweet, you know, like the, it's like the Laurel Canyon thing.
Yeah.
You know, I can hear that, you know, or like, you know, like in the 70s when they had like the, Woodstock thing. It was like Van Morrison and the band and Bob Dylan. And like you can hear that like rootsy sound. So yeah, it's I think geographically somehow like infiltrates like people's musical. You know, even if they're not from there, you know, people that like move to some place and make an album, it's like, okay, it sounds like it's from there. And that's really interesting to me.
I think honestly, a lot of that comes from like the local pull, like you were saying, you know, these artists that go and say like Mute Math record a ton of stuff in Louisiana. Like,
they're from New Orleans.
And like the drums, the New Orleans feel like the vibe that comes from that. The ones that travel to record, like, pulling that local influence. And I definitely, I've heard that too. And I can pick that out as well. But I mean, it was just this, when I sat down and like started to think about this, this concept of like how I can walk out on a trail, you know, end up at a side of the river, snap a picture, or just sit there and look at it for a few minutes. And like immediately, or very quickly after that, have some sort of like life thought. And it's, I think we're built that way. I mean, David in the Psalms, like that's a lot of that poetry that he wrote was nature driven. You know, you had something to compare it to. And I think that kind of ties into the music piece of it is like, I'm playing a soundtrack to what I'm seeing right now. That's a whole other side of this discussion that's like would be crazy interesting to get into is like composing music for movies or for like scenes and things like that where you can visually see a moment and like put music to that and like put emotion to that.
That's what they do.
That's exactly what, that's they, what do. They do. And that's what the purpose of it is. And so anyway, so when you brought this up, I was like, dude, we have got to talk about this because I think that it's so deep on so many different levels and we could go down so many different rabbit holes with it, but
but what is music? At the heart of it, music is an expression of an idea, right? And there's a lot of ideas that humans can have. There's a lot of feelings that humans can have, a lot of different emotions. But nature itself, the vastness of nature, when you look up at the night sky and you see the stars and there's no end, there is an immensity to nature and it demands some sort of expression. And I think music is what was given to us to express. From John Denver all through kind of modern music, even as far back to like the Renaissance composers and before them, there was always this need within human artists and composers to connect with ideas using the imagery of nature. Think of the Beatles. Let's talk about the Beatles for just a minute. Even their name is a play on words from an actual insect from nature. That's a stupid point.
It is.
But it's from nature. The Beatles. Okay, so every Beatle, John, Paul, George, and Ringo, they all four of them, either wrote a song, composed it individually, or was the lead singer in a song that connected to nature. John Lennon. Let's just go Beatle by Beatle for a minute. Everybody loves the Beatles. So John, kind of the bluesy. Imagine is a great song. It doesn't have any kind of nature imagery on it. He's kind of the bluesy Beatle, in a Gram 6, if that means anything to anybody. Think of some of his songs, Across the Universe. Like, that's a really artsy-fartsy song that draws on the cosmos to reflect an idea of loneliness, but both completeness. Dear Prudence was another one off the White Album. The sun is out, it's beautiful, so are you. I mean, it's using sunshine to reflect on the idea of a woman fulfilling him and being his light right there in his life. That's beautiful. Paul. I mean, Paul was a little more poppy than John. At one point, he became kind of the leader of the Beatles, kind of after Sgt. Pepper's Enneagram 3, kind of the front man. Think of some of his songs, Blackbird. Think of like what is brought out from nature to reflect this idea of this bird or individual that is trying to make their way through an unfair world. I think the civil rights movement was kind of one of the inspirations for that song, but Blackbird Singing in the Dead of Night, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's an awesome song. Here, Here Comes the Sun by George Harrison. Like, that's an easy one to point to, but back to Paul, Good Day Sunshine. Like, sun is kind of like a bright and happy thing in the Beatles' world.
Well, for them, I mean, like, they're British. Mm-hmm. So, like, most of the time it's gloomy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
rainy.
If you think about it, yeah, like, all these times they're like, sunshine.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah, it's back, like, that's the happy for them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Back to George, like, kind of the quiet Beatle. Could be an Enneagram 4 or Enneagram 9. Like, Here Comes the Sun. Like, the ice is melting. Yeah. It's been a long, cold, cold. Lonely winter.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And they lived in England. That's a great, great point. And Ringo, even Ringo, like, Ringo was such a good singer. Like, he delivered a song. He was such a cool Beatle, like, the unspoken kind of drummer that would have these great, with a little help from my friends and stuff like that. But Octopus's Garden, like, that's like a trippy underwater fun adventure.
Yeah.
Drug-inspired song, but it's cool. Like, it's this underwater world that he delivers, and that's part of nature. And then stepping back from the Beatles and, you know, people like John Denver and the Renaissance artists, when you think about music and how it has been given, you have to talk about God, like the creator of all things. How did music even get here? How was that even given to us? It's a gift to be able to express. Think of our parents when they taught us how to speak when we were children. We were delivered the language.
Yeah.
And I think music is what was delivered by the creator to both connect with him and connect with his creation. You mentioned David in the Psalms not too long ago, Psalm 147. He determines the number of stars. He knows them each by name.
Yeah.
That's amazing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, like, with the Psalms, that's poetry. It's a song. The ancient Israelites, they didn't have songbooks.
Right.
They didn't flip on the radio. They sang the Psalms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Psalm 8, I want to read that. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what's mankind that you're mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? Ulysses S. Grant, when he was a general in the Civil War, he used to take his commanding officers out in the night sky and have them look up at the stars on a bright, clear night. And he would say something like, there's your lesson in humility. Like, what are we?
Yeah.
And music is the way that we express gratitude, thankfulness. It's a way that we express awe and wonder for what the Creator has given.
Yeah.
Psalm 19 is another one. So when you think about music as an expression, as a way to connect with nature, it's a way to connect with God, our Creator, too. One of my favorite songs that's out was kind of replicated by another Christian rapper who lives in the Tampa area, KB. KB's amazing.
I didn't know he was from Tampa.
He's from Tampa. He lives in Tampa. That's cool. And one of his songs is called So Will I, off of one of his latest albums. If the stars were made to worship, so will I.
Mm-hmm.
If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. If everything exists to lift you high, so will I. That's what music allows us to do, to connect with the one that gave us our being and gave us where we are.
Yeah. No, that's...
it's true connection.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. I mean, that's...
you're welcome.
There's a lot to unpack right there, but like... so in previous episodes, you know, I've talked with several different folks about, you know, what we get from nature, what it does for us. And one specifically, I was talking to this guy named Jesse Cody, who's big mental health, big mental health advocate. And he's got a movement that he's putting together on trying to help folks heal through nature, like wilderness therapy is what he calls it. And I love that concept. And we talked a little bit about, like, you know, what he gets from nature. And I talked a little bit about what I get from nature. And you just mentioned it. Like, I feel close to my creator when I'm under the stars, or like laying next to a campfire, or looking at a beautiful landscape on a vista. Like, I feel small and like insignificant, but like very close to him in those point in times. And so, you know, kind of going back to what I was saying a few minutes ago about the journal, I wish I would have pulled it out, 'cause I wanted to read some of the entries I wrote in it, but just some of the lessons that, that I've learned, in humility, and like, just how I'm being led. Like, I'm blazing this trail, but am I really blazing it, or has it been laid out for me? You know, like, So a lot of different aspects that you can take with that concept, but it just goes back to that, that healing, aspect of it.
Therapeutic.
It's therapeutic. And like a lot of people, like, especially, I hate continuing to talk about this stupid pandemic. I mean, but so many people needed something so much during that time. And a lot of people went to nature. A lot of people got into hiking and camping and kayaking and everything. And you couldn't go to an outdoor store and find anything. Like, you could not find tents. You couldn't find any of that stuff, because everybody was stuck at home, or they were getting outside. And so there's this whole push. And then, like, veiled in that was this mental health crisis that we have going on right now as well. But to Jesse's point, you know, there's a lot of healing that comes from nature. And I think that that makes perfect sense when you look at it from the perspective of someone who does believe in God and does follow him. Like, that's what it was designed to do.
Yeah. There's a great Yes song that one of the lyrics is, "Don't surround yourself with yourself." And getting out and surrounding yourself with the immensity and vastness and splendor of nature, it is therapeutic, and it fills you up and it lets you discover yourself and identify what needs to change. I feel like whenever I'm out in nature, like, I was a teacher for 10 years, and when you're in those four walls, you're there for 7 or 8 hours. You can't leave your classroom. Right. You got a job to do. And then whenever I was given the opportunity to step away from teaching and actually work outside, and work with my hands and learn skills and learn trades, it's like the world opened up for me, and my mind opened up, and my heart opened up. And just to be out in nature and feel the elements around you, and to sweat and feel the dirt, it's what you're meant to do.
Yeah,
I mean, we talk about it as if it's like returning to that, but I think God initially wanted us to be a part of that, not to be foreign.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because for us, it's like, you know, we're used to, and I'm thankful for it, but like air conditioning and shelter and all this stuff. But we've also lost this whole like element, I think, that is like vital to our, you know, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Our success, our fulfillment, our whatever it is. But like, it's being in nature and like experiencing like a natural experience.
Right.
For that, for most people, it's unnatural. For me, it's unnatural. You know, like, I grew up like a huge like beach kid and like lake. We were always like outside, but like camping, you know, like in Florida, nah, I'll pass. Tim asked me one time, he was like, oh, so you want to do, you think about, he was like going to do the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah.
And I was like, pass.
There's mosquitoes.
He was on the short list of folks that I wanted to experience this with.
Yeah.
And he's like, no.
No.
And it's fine. I mean, I can respect that. I mean, if that's not something that you're interested in, like, don't force stuff into it. But
yeah.
I mean, there's...
That's the cool thing about nature, though. There's so many different types of nature and ecosystems and environments that certain types appeal to different people.
Yeah.
Like, the beach appeals to certain people. The Appalachian Trail.
Yeah.
The desert to others.
Yeah.
Well, my wife Amanda, like, growing up in California, like, camping to them was like, we go up on this mountain.
Yeah.
And it's, like, what you think about camping.
Right.
Huge mountains, bears, like flowing, like beautiful, like fires in the middle of the summer. Like, that's what you think about. Yeah. But, like, for me, I'm like, every time I went camping, it was hot.
Mosquitoes. And I got sweat.
Tore up.
Yeah. Poison ivy.
Yeah.
So, not good
times. It's a different perspective. Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, one of our mutual friends, Warren, he came on the show a while back, and I did a camping convert episode with him. And it was it was awesome the way that it worked. Because
just don't put sand in his bed. Be all
right. So, you know, we talked a lot about how, like, he had terrible experiences growing up, very similar to that. Like, that Florida, it sucks. Like, camping in June or July.
No, bad idea.
Listen, I love camping.
Yeah.
You will not catch me dead outside, like, right now.
It's only for survival down here.
Yeah, if I wanted to not
die. Or when the power's out when there's a hurricane.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you might go outside because it's cooler. Right.
Right. Yeah. But
so what do you listen to when you hike and explore and when you're out and about? Like, what do you like? What drives you or what helps you relax?
Or do you?
Or do you?
Honestly,
you
don't.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting.
So that's a kind of a good debate topic in the hiking community.
Silence.
It's like music or no music. Mm-hmm. And I'm a natural sound guy. Like the sound machine. I'm the sound machine, dude. To where, like, it makes me feel connected to what I'm doing when I'm hearing, like, birds chirping and twigs snapping and, like, the rush of the water that you're coming up on that is a stream or a waterfall. Like, I don't want to mask that with, I mean, I love music. Music is a huge part of my life, but, like, it's very segmented out of that nature piece of my life to where I'm not going to go into this scenario where, like, I'm removing myself from the day-to-day world, my daily grind, to go escape, to just pull myself back in by the music I'd be listening to if I was at the house.
Yeah, the sound of a stream is a much better soundtrack.
Right.
And, well, and how often do you hear that? You know, like, for you, I mean, walking right out here, there's, like, a preserve.
Yeah.
I mean, just there, like, hearing pine trees, like, crack, you know, and like...
The wind.
Yeah. Sitting on our back porch.
So foreign.
Yeah. Just listening to owls hoot or
and
like...
to be quiet and to be still. Yeah. I feel like is a muscle that you have to work.
That hardly ever gets work.
Yeah.
In our life. Yeah.
We're kind of being bred for stimulation. Like, it's got to have something in front of us all the time. We got to be listening to something or watching something or reading something. We can't just be. And, like, I hate that I keep referencing old episodes, but it's been a long time since I've recorded, so everybody needs a refresher. Like, going back to this episode I recorded about the movie Walk with Secret Life of Walter Mitty. It's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Great.
And there's this one particular scene where the photographer is sitting there on the mountain about to snap the picture of this elusive snow leopard, and Walter Mitty's sitting right next to him. It's Sean Penn.
I haven't seen this one.
Oh, dude.
I know. Stop it.
We're watching it tonight.
We're watching it tonight. So they're sitting there on the mountain, and he's about to snap this picture of this snow leopard that's really rare. Comes into the frame of the camera, and he just sits back and looks at it. And Walter looks at him and is like, aren't you going to snap the picture? And he goes, no. Like, sometimes when I find a moment that's so beautiful, I just want to be in it.
Wow.
And, like, that
I get
quote
it.
Just, like, hit me in the chest when I saw that movie, because that's exactly the way I feel. And there's been so many times throughout this whole podcast where, like, I have started and stopped or paused, and I'm, like, kind of guilting myself into, I haven't put anything out in a while, but, like, I'm still living. I'm still doing what I want to be doing. I'm just not publicizing it, you know? And we need more of that. We need more people just, like, living in the moment. And so That's my answer to your question. I mean, I do. I mean, there's been plenty of camping trips where I've gone out with my brother-in-laws or whatever, and we've got some tunes playing in the background because it's just fun. We're all there together.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to go seek solitude, I'm seeking solitude.
So I would be a part of the argument to not have music in nature.
Why,
even though it inspires it, it doesn't mean you have to have it all the time. I would want to turn it off.
Elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah. Like, I'd want to hear the sounds of nature. Like, when I go to the beach, I want to hear the ocean.
No, I feel the same way. I get mad sometimes when I'm at the beach and like somebody brings this boombox.
I don't want to listen to Kenny Chesney right now.
Well, even, I mean, that would be a step up. It's like rap. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, bro, like, this is killing my vibe, man.
Yeah.
Like, now, and some, you know, whatever, there could be like island rap or whatever it is. Like, but I'm also guilty. Like, if I'm at the beach, it's like Bob Marley, Jack Johnson, Toots and Maytals. Like, I'm vibing, but that's. But there's some times where I'm like, oh, that song, this like music just totally killed my vibe.
Yeah.
Because I'm like looking at this beautiful thing,
mm-hmm.
sitting with my family, and then I got to hear this.
And then you hear Boats and Hoes.
Boats and Hoes.
Yeah.
Unneeded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's good stuff. There was this kind of lingering thing that I wanted to try to just touch on, and I think we've really touched on it a lot, but the main thing I wanted to get today is just make that connection and then just get some input from you guys on, you know, what inspires you. And I mean, I wanted some more feedback from you on like what kind of spurned this idea. Ooh. What made you want to talk about this?
Being out and working, like, so what I do for a living, it's kind of open-ended. Like, there's a lot of things that I do. It can be fencing, or it could be horticulture, it could be irrigation, it could be painting, it could be things relating to animals, it could be anything. And so I find myself going through my music to kind of fit what I'm doing, but that's more related to work, even though I am out in nature. But I think just being out and working outside made me think, that'd be kind of a cool thing to talk about and see if other people connected to that. And then just looking through my phone at all the artists that I have and all the music I have and just thinking, well, there's one, there's one, there's one, there's one. No matter what genre you look at, like whether it's Alan Jackson or, gosh, it just doesn't matter. It seems like they all connect with nature. The Red Hot Chili Peppers do it in their latest album. I mean, from everything from rock to reggae to jazz, like Sunflower by Milt Jackson was a great jazz album where it's just instrumentals, but you could almost feel sunflowers in part of that album. Like, I don't know. There's just, it seems like such a cool connection because it just is.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, before we wrap up, so remember that game we used to play in the condo we would pick an animal or a character that someone else looked like, in, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh no.
Well, I was thinking about this whole like trail name thing that happens with the trail community. I don't know if you guys probably aren't familiar with this, but when people go on long distance hikes or they go for like a through hike, they give themselves or someone gives them a trail name. And it's this, it's can be something silly. It can be just a different name, but they go by that on the trail and in the trail community.
Chief Sit and Squat.
And so we mentioned Walter Mitty earlier. That Mitty is my name that I chose.
Mitty!
Because I really relate to that, like that character. But I was thinking about this process and then I remembered that game that we played. So I thought it'd be fun for us to pick trail names for each other based on what band we look like we listen to.
Oh, man. Okay. All right.
And Danny kind of ruined it for me because Tom Petty was like all day long. Yeah. You know, like that's the name I would have picked for him all day long. It's just Tom Petty.
Petty works because Petty. He doesn't want to camp in July and August in Florida.
Yeah.
Petty.
It's killing time.
Yeah. And for Jordan, I was thinking like Nickelback.
Nickelback! Fantastic!
Or like,
it's a
Just a regular old tool.
Yeah.
No.
Best band in Canada.
No. So I thought that'd be kind of fun. Like, so you guys
should pick.
You should pick one for me, and we'll just go around that way, and we'll do that.
Okay.
So just for point of reference for the audience, whenever we played this game in college, they told me I looked like Hiss, the snake from cartoon Robin Hood.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
No.
Dude, that was like all day long in the Jordan and I's room that we shared in the condo. We had the bunk bed with the king size mattress on the bottom. When the girls first started coming around, like we played that game and it was like, what animal do you look, or what character do you look like? And, like unanimously, all you guys were like, Hiss from
Hiss.
Yeah.
Oh man. And
I had to look up the character's name.
Yeah,
I couldn't remember
that character.
The name. If I pulled up a picture and showed you, you'd just bust out laughing.
Like, look at his eyes and hypnotize
it's
him.
It's just like kind of rounded cheeks and a big smile. What band do you, if you had to just, I'm gonna put it up on the video for the podcast show, but,
well, I mean, if it was like look-alike, we're doing band.
Like, what's a band that you think that I would listen to based on what I look like?
Yeah, because my always like character, I was like Doug.
Doug.
Doug. Because it's just like the nose.
Yeah.
Just the average guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roger was a jerk, though, man.
Yeah. No, I always felt Doug. Yeah, I don't know. So we gotta pick you. We're done.
I picked you guys.
Okay.
So we got
Tim.
Nickelback.
We got Nickelback and Petty.
Fantastic. Tim. And Petty. Nickelback and Petty.
Those are good. Those are solid trail names.
I do feel like Tim would be some kind of like rough, rugged, elementary country.
Like
My sister used to say that I looked like Eric Church. Minus the beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Church would be a cool trail name.
Church!
Church is good. What's his songs? What songs he's got?
What
songs he's got?
He did
his, like...
I'm trying to remember some of the...
Creepin'?
He did the Creepin' song.
Creepin', that's the one.
Creepin'. He's so twangy. Yeah.
He looks like he watches a lot of NASCAR.
He does. Yeah, he does look like that.
I think he wrote a song about
Tim
NASCAR.
Does, too.
I do not. Just for the record, I do not watch
NASCAR. Looks like he does.
Church.
I love these stereotype games. Yeah. They're so fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Church and Petty and NASCAR. Yeah. Let's pick one for Ryan.
Okay.
In spirit.
So our dear friend Ryan could not be with us tonight. He's across the
universe.
Golden land in California. But he was a big part of these games as well. And, I don't know.
Band?
Let's just go anything for him.
He's so 90210, though.
Yeah, I would say, like, especially he's in California now. Beach Boy.
Californians.
Beach Boy.
Rooney.
Rooney. Rooney's a good one for him.
Rooney. Forgot about Rooney. That was a good band.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, when you eventually decide that you want to go hiking ever...
Okay.
Thanks for asking him. I'll go with you.
Never been asked.
Well, you know.
That sounds great.
If you ever respond to anything I send you, then I would have asked
you.
Yeah,
I know. That's true. Like the girl that's waiting but's afraid to say anything.
All right. Well, the next time that I go hiking, I will drive past your house in Ocala and say, hey, Jordan, you want to go? And you're going to say.
I'll ask my wife.
I got to work. I gotta work. That was always the excuse when we made the trips to Ocala. Like,
I did have to work.
I gotta work.
Winn-Dixie.
I had to go to Winn-Dixie.
We're gonna go visit him.
Somebody's got to bag those groceries.
Somebody's
got to stock those shelves.
Yeah, we visited him that one time.
We're like, no, he's lying. And then we would just go to Winn-Dixie, and you're there just back.
I remember like probably the only time that we actually went to work that where you were working was the time that we went and loaded up the cart. And left it.
Oh, that was the shopping cart trick.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what that is. So with the shopping cart trick, it's such a great trick.
I don't
so
remember that.
You have two friends that are in on it together, right? Mm-hmm. And one guy has the keys in his pocket. We'll get back to that in a minute. So you go through the store, and just from all different departments, since it's going to be a pain to put back, you mm-hmm. load up the shopping cart, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so you go through the line, and you're checking out everything in the line, and the first guy is in front of the buggy, and he's the one that is paying, right? And so he says, oh, I left my wallet in the car. I'm sorry, I'll be right back. He runs out to the car. He has his keys in his pocket. Actually, no, he doesn't have the keys in his pocket. He goes and stands by the car. The second guy waits about 3 minutes, and the line is filling up with people. And then the second guy goes, oh, wait a minute. I have his keys. And then you run out there. And then you start in the car and you leave.
Yeah.
And then you just leave all the groceries there.
And they checked it out.
And they checked it out. What? And so they have
I
to put
there.
I guess that was just me and Ryan that did that. We
I think you did it
out of my mind.
I think you did it to me, but I knew what you were doing. Yeah, and I thought,
like,
it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And so I told my manager, I think I was just like, yeah, they couldn't do it.
And it's like, no, that's my friend Tim. He's always broke. He just didn't have money.
I did it one time with Ryan, like at a Publix or something like that. It was so funny. Anything with him was just fun.
You're always full of those, like, really good situations like that. Because you did this thing at Tijuana Flats all the time.
Oh, with the cheese?
I still do it.
With the cheese, that's right.
I still do it.
So at Tijuana Flats, when you go through the line, you have to buy cheese. Like a little thing of queso.
Queso, yeah.
Screw them.
Yeah.
Like, so if you go to the table and they always walk around, they're like, how's your meal and everything? Yeah, you need a drink or anything? What you do is you say to these little fly arounds, can you bring me some queso, or do I pay you, or
do I pay
how does
you
it
for
work?
The queso?
No, it's always, do I pay you for the queso?
And then they're like, oh, I'll go get you some. Yep. And then you get a free thing of queso.
Always.
Every time. It's flawless. I did this
80%
twice.
80% of the time works every time.
No, 100% of the time. I've done this with my kids. I taught my kids this trick.
Great, Dad.
We've done it at least a handful of times.
Got to bamboozle the companies, man.
Yeah. My daughter's like, do we pay you for the queso?
Yes, bless her heart, sweet child. You got to teach them right.
Yeah.
Come on. Queso's not going to mean anything for Tijuana Flats. They're going to be here a year from now.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on and you're coming over to hang out anyway, so I figured we better record something. But
Thank you, Timothy.
Thanks for the idea and for agreeing to come on. So
thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast app, be sure to hit that subscribe button and leave me a nice review there. I greatly appreciate that. If you're watching this on YouTube, also hit that subscribe button and turn on those alerts. Drop me a comment. Let me know what you think of the show. Looking for us on social media? You can find us at The Trail Connection on Instagram and Facebook. We share lots of cool photos of nature and some nice deep thoughts about those photos. And be sure to give us a follow, give us a like, check out what we got going on a daily basis. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. My name is Tim Garland, a.k.a. Mitty, and you're listening to The Trail Connection Podcast.